This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We'll continue, Shaykh, until we get the proper salam, inshaAllah. Jayid? We did the hadith where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina al-Munawwara. The first time he enters the city of Medina al-Munawwara, he gave four pieces of advice. We did that khutbah here a few months ago, obviously, completely forgotten, walhamdulillah. And the first piece of advice the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Afshu salam baynakum, spread the salam amongst you. And we said that, salam subhanallah, we many a times just use it as a cultural practice. We don't really mean the actual salam behind it. But in reality, it's a powerful dua. When I say to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. I come to you in peace. I want peace for you. I want Allah's peace and rahmah and blessings upon you. I want peace upon you. I want safety upon you. I do not want anyone else to harm you. And so if I really mean that, am I going to be a person who is going to be backbiting you left, right and center? Am I going to be the person who is talking ill about you? Am I going to be the one who is robbing you and stealing from you? Absolutely not. If only but I meant the salam when I said it. Allah ta'ala, right? And so, maybe that's the reason, Shaykh, that many people, when you give them salam, because they don't mean that. They don't want khair and barakah for you. They want to backbite you. They want to talk bad about you. They want to do you down in business. So maybe that's why, maybe they do understand the true meaning behind salam. And so they don't want to give you that proper salam. Allahu musta'an. Jayid? Mushkila ya mushayid. Jayid? Allahu musta'an. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we praise Him that Allah has blessed us with another Friday, walhamdulillah. The best day in the week, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. And if it coincides with the month end, then maybe there's extra barakah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, the last time we were here was around the beginning of January. So it was the beginning of the year. We spoke about this calendar, the Gregorian calendar. We spoke about the Hijri calendar. What's the basis behind it? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say that it was the Hijri calendar based upon his hijrah, his migration from where? He went from where to where? He went from Makkah to Medina al-Munawwara. Excellent. But he migrated in the month of Rabi al-Awwal. So why did the scholars say no, no, no? Why did Umar radiallahu ta'ala say no, no, no? We will begin our Islamic calendar in the month of Muharram. We talked about this. We said that maybe because the Hujjaj, they return back to their countries after the Hajj, after Dhul Hijjah. By the time they reach home, especially in the old days, it might have now been the month of Muharram, Dhul Hijjah, and then Muharram. So they are turning over a new leaf. They are starting a brand new slate. That which is beginning afresh is now in the month of Muharram. And so they began our Hijri calendar with the month of Muharram. Alhamdulillah. We talked a lot about this matter, mashaAllah. We talked about Abraha. And that's the year the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, the year of the elephant. How the Arabs before Islam would remember dates, mashaAllah. So that was a snapshot from Makkah al-Mukarramah. We continue, inshaAllah, with some other snapshots, some other important events in the life of our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Generally, brothers and sisters, if you had to divide the life of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many years did he live on this earth for? He lived for 63 years. Excellent. If you had to divide his life, what different categories would you divide it in? Example, yourself. So mashaAllah, you at the age of 56 now. You might divide your life, that my schooling years, then my working years, until the point that I got married, so my life before marriage and my life after marriage, Maybe your life before you had a kid is in a different category. Now you have children, it's a completely different life. Maybe there was some illness that you were diagnosed with at maybe 50, and your life after that completely different from what came before. Maybe you were very, very far away from the masjid, from the adhan, from salah, from Quran, and there was some change in your life. Life before Hajj and life after Hajj. So different categories that we could divide your life in. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are some of those divisions you could do with his life? Anyone? Doctor? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life before prophethood and his life after being anointed as a Nabi. So 40 years before prophethood. And then from 40 to 63, 23 years, as now a Nabi. Excellent, mashallah. Massive difference between both of them. One category, one part of his life, there was no revelation coming down. He never had this mission and this responsibility. These 23 years, Quran is coming down. These 23 years, he has a mission he needs to fulfill. Excellent. That's why during his Hajj, when all of the Sahaba were gathered, the final Hajj, in the year just before he passed away, he says, "Oh Allah, you witness. Oh your people, have I passed on the message? Have I given the message?" They said, "Yes." "Oh Allah, you be witness that they said, yes, I have given and I've done my duty." Excellent. Another category would be, another division would be, what? Jameel, excellent. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life in Makkah al-Mukarramah, for 52 years, he lived in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And then after that, he left Makkah and he moves to Medina al-Munawwara. And that's 11 years. So you can divide his life as the Meccan period and the Medina period. Walhamdulillah. Excellent. And then a third classification would join between both of these. Meaning, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to the age of 40, one division. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while still in Makkah as a prophet, from the age of 40, right up to the time he made the hijrah, and so those 12 years, that period. And then the Medina period on their own, walhamdulillah. Either, point is, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. In the life of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an excellent example. If only but we left. If only but we understood. If only but we extracted those fawaid and those benefits. Excellent. One of the snapshots, bi'ithnillah ta'ala, from Makkah al-Mukarramah, which ties in with this division, is when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the age of 40. At the age of 40, what happens? He's where? In which cave? In the cave of? In the cave of Hira. On what mountain? What's that mountain called? Today we call it what? The mountain of Jabal? Jabal Nur. I mean, in those days it was not called Jabal Nur. We only call it Jabal Nur because while he was there, the revelation came down. The Quran started to descend, etc., etc. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. If you had to look at the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life after 40, as we said, complete change, mashallah. And if you had to look at the highlights from the time he was born, so he was born in the year of the elephant, up to the age of 4, he is looked after by Halima al-Sa'diyya in the outskirts, in the countryside. Then he is put back in the care of his mother from 4 to 6. Who passes away at the age of 6? His mother passes away, subhanAllah. His father already died before he was even born. He's a yatim. And now his mother passes away at the age of 6. To the care of his grandfather he goes from the age of 6 to the age of 8. 8 years old, Abdul Muttalib, grandfather passes away. And so from the age of 8, he is now being looked after by his uncle Abu Talib. When he's around the age of 12, we all know the story. Abu Talib takes him on this journey and they go to Sham. And the famous incident, there was this priest, this rabbi, this man of the church in the monastery. He says, there's something special about this boy here. This boy here, he is a prophet like the previous ones. He looked at his back and he found some sort of mark of the Anbiya, some sort of seal of the prophets. So that was around the age of 12. Fast forward, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the age of 21. And throughout this period, he was a shepherd looking after sheep, mashallah. And every one of the anbiya, as he said, they looked after sheep. Many wisdoms in that. From amongst the wisdoms would be what? Anyone here looked after sheep? We're not talking about qurbani at the door. You make one small thing there and you got 10 sheep there, mashallah, for 2 days. We're talking about as a shepherd. Any of you? Yeah, the tour, you were a shepherd? MashaAllah, Jayid. The tour, which country? Jayid, where about you looking after sheep? Eastern Cape. MashaAllah, excellent. What benefits are they looking after sheep, Shaykh? Since you are here, let us hear it from the sheep's mouth. Jayid, yalla, the tour. Sabar, why sabar?
The sheep is a soft animal.
Soft animal? Jayid, not like a camel. Jameel, camel, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Bedouins used to come rough and tough. Whereas the one looking after sheep, very soft, mashallah. Hopefully the Torah is also like that soft nature. So you learn sabr. What else? You have to look after the sheep, you have to care for them. You have to be careful about what? Wolves, mashallah. We have wolves in South Africa? Or two-legged wolves, Jayid. So you have to be careful with regards to two-legged wolves. They want to capture, they want to steal, etc., etc. Jameel, excellent. So you need to be wary, you need to be aware. And the sheep goes in that direction, the one goes in the other direction. You need to make sure that they're all together, that the all sheep are together. Also, you have a lot of free time. You have a lot of free time. And so you learn to be with yourself. Today, most of us here, it's a bit frightening at times to be alone with yourself. You leave your mobile phone 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you're agitated. I need to talk to somebody, I need to send a message. What's going on Facebook? What's going on here? I need to be active doing something. I need some stimulation. I can't just be alone with myself, it's frightening. But as a shepherd, you're alone with yourself days on end, mashallah. You ponder, you think, what's the story behind this year? I must plan to do this year. Why am I even here? Why am I on earth? What's the purpose of creation, etc.? You have the opportunity to think about all of that. And ponder, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, that subhanAllah, and it is stated generally across the globe, like the farmer, people of agriculture, they are very, very far away from falling into the traps of atheism or anything like that. Rather, the person who says no such thing as Allah and Anbiya, and we just here eat and sleep and just live your life, and it's all over after that, game over. There's no hereafter and accountability. There's no God. I never saw God. He never told me that, you know, He's my creator. No God. Very rare for you to find somebody who's a farmer who's an atheist. He believes in some sort of deity. He believes in some sort of God. He plants a seed and then he prays. God, you send whatever God he prays to, send the rains, etc. He sees all of this. Whereas the guy in the concrete jungle, the guy in the city, where does milk come from? Checkers. Medicine, etc. This camp. Where do you get water? From the tap. Where do you get bread? From the shop. And that's where it all comes from. He doesn't see that which comes from behind. He doesn't see that she growing and stuff. Whereas the man in the countryside experiences all of that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a shepherd at the age of 21, as we discussed last night. So every Thursday between Maghrib and Isha, the full version of the history lesson we have here at this musalla, walhamdulillah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 21, there was like a parliament in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they also called him there. There was a man who came from Yemen, and he did some business, and the people were not paying him. They were dishonest. No, tomorrow, it never comes. As one brother, he says, I don't lend people money. Why, brother? He says, because it causes amnesia. People all get sick, subhanAllah. They all get amnesia. They forget that they owe me money. Allah musta'an, Jayid. And so this man had amnesia. No, I don't owe you, I don't owe you. This man went on the mountain. He started to talk bad about these people. You Meccans, you don't pay up your dues, etc. So the other people got together and said, we can't allow this to happen. We need to help people when they are oppressed. When somebody is not paying up, we need to assist them. We need to have the oppressor and the oppressed. Have the oppressed so that he is not oppressed. And have the oppressor so he stops his oppression. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only 21 years old. But they called him to be part and parcel of this jama'ah. It's called the hilf of fudul, the pact of chivalry. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not somebody sitting in his madrasa or sitting in his house and far away from society, not involved in what's going on in society. 21 years old, he's not a nabi or anything like that, but he's with the society, with the issues and the problems of the society. He's part and parcel of that. He was connected, mashallah. Fast forward, he's at the age of 25, what happens? He gets married, Jayb. At the age of 25, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets married to who? Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, walhamdulillah. And we discussed that last night in our majlis, walhamdulillah. Those of you who, as we mentioned previously, the poster is still up there. For the love of Muhammad, that competition, we gave out some of the books, mashallah, midnight last night. The registration is closed. 31st of January, registration is closed. And from today, those who are participating, over 1,000 who had registered, they would have received an email, and you do the multiple choice questions. And inshallah, the 16th of February, the announcement, two Umrah prizes, plus minus 50,000 rands worth of prizes will be announced. Alhamdulillah. If you didn't participate, if you didn't register, may Allah grant you shifa. May Allah grant you shifa. Why Allah grant you shifa? Because many a times we Muslims, we suffer from this disease of just being lethargic in all matters. Especially when it comes to matters of the deen. I don't know much. There's an opportunity, and I still don't take that opportunity. I mean, what else does one require? Does one require the doctor to tell you that, brother, you know what? You only have 2 months to live. Do we require some sort of shock to bring us to the reality? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 25 he got married. At 35, the Meccans were rebuilding the Kaaba, and they had an issue. Who's going to put the black stone? We're fighting, we issue problem, da-da-da. Eventually, the next man who enters the haram, we let him decide the matter. We can't sort it out ourselves. Who enters? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, technically, he was not a Nabi at that time. But Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. That's what they called him. The trustworthy one. Al-Amin, he will decide. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided the matter. All of you take a piece of this cloth, put the black stone in the middle. This tribe, that tribe, this tribe. You all lift it up. And I will place it in its place. And so by doing that, he brought them all together. He stopped the dispute. Alhamdulillah. Fast forward. 5 years later. At the age of 40. And that's our discussion. The Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just before the age of 40, he started to go to the cave of Hira. And he would stay there for days on end. He would take his food and he would be there. Doing what? Contemplating. Why are we here? Look at the practices of these people. Some people bury their daughters alive. What craziness is that? People are worshipping idols and graves and isms and schisms and all of this crazy stuff. Somebody's traveling and he doesn't have his idol with him. So he takes a bit of dates, puts it together and he makes a small thing there and he begins to worship it. Doesn't even have that, takes some mud and makes up something. Allah musta'an. You find people around today, that this person venerates an idol. Underneath the idol, it has a sticker made in China. Ajib, subhanAllah. Where's the aql? And this person's a doctor, this person's an engineer. But why is it? And Muslims also suffer from this too. Why is it? When it comes to our deen, when it comes to the religion, it is as though that this person divorces the other side of the brain. Everything else is super smart. When it comes to agriculture, when it comes to engineering, he's brilliant. But then in the afternoon, he comes down and bows down before an idol. It's as if he divorces his intellect. Allah musta'an. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pondering over this. He would also have true dreams for about 6 months. He sees something in his dream, and the next day, exactly what he saw in his dream, he would see it out there, subhanAllah. And so, these events started to occur. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the cave for days on end. He's at the age of 40, subhanAllah. And as we will call it, Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. It's the night. How many of you went up to Jabal Nur? When you go to Makkah, you can obviously go there and you can walk up, mashallah. It's about 600 plus meters above sea level. probably take you maybe about an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half to go up and come down. Anyone went up? It's not an easy climb. It's a difficult climb, subhanAllah. But from the top there, you have a clear view of the haram. And so in those days, absent of the pollution, mashaAllah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam probably had a good view of the Kaaba. And so he's seated there in the cave for days on end. There's no electricity. Dark, middle of the night. Suddenly he is approached by, he doesn't know what. It is what? It's an angel. He never saw an angel in his life. What is this? What is this being? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is super shocked. It's dark, middle of the night. And this angel comes there. And the angel Jibreel says to him, Iqra, ma ana biqari'. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't know how to read and he didn't know how to write. And so the angel says to him, read. Or he cites. I don't know how to read. The angel grabs him very, very tight. Until the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like almost suffocating. He couldn't breathe. And then let him go. As some ulama said, maybe a wisdom behind this is to show him that this mission that you have ahead of you is not going to be an easy mission. It's difficult mission. Grabbed him a second time. Iqra. I don't know how to read. Third time he did the same. Later on in history, you had a scholar called the Ash-Shurayh, great judge. He used this incident here as his evidence that a Quran teacher, obviously most of our Quran teachers didn't know about this. He says that the Quran teacher is not allowed to reprimand the student more than three times. Because the angel Jibreel, in teaching the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and having something to do with recitation of Quran, held him very close in a state of like pain, where he was like suffocating, and he only did this three times. So you, O Mu'allim, O Mu'allima, maximum is three, and not more, and not more than that. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, was in a state of solitude, was alone. Angel Jibreel approaches, and then says to him, Iqra. Allah could have chosen any other revelation to start our story. Our story now, the revelation, the Quran, 23 years of this revelation now begins. Allah could have started with anything else. Look after the poor, worship me alone. Allah began with Iqra. We are a nation of Iqra, subhanAllah. That's what we are supposed to be. If you look at the golden years of Islam, the golden age of Spain, the golden age of the Abbasid Empire, etc., Muslims were the forerunners in all of the various sciences because we were a people of reading. Unfortunately, we don't really read much. If we have to ask each one here, what's the last book you picked up and you read? Be it with regards to your career, be it with regards to the deen, anything. We don't read, period. We're not talking about the Weekly Gazette and the Rising Sun, ya Mashaikh. We're talking about reading something beneficial. We're not talking about something which has three quarters of pictures. No. Reading, subhanAllah. Even if you take a flight, SAA or Emirates or whatever, you find Sumaya, Saliha and Salman. Excellent. What movies are they showing? Ice, let's see what's the latest, etc. Whereas, the guy next to you there, Samuel and Samantha, he's got all tattoos, left, right and center, three earrings, and he's walking around with a thick book like this, thick book like that. Ajee, we are the ummah that got the revelation to Iqra, not him. But he's the one making Iqra, and we are the ones furthest away from that. Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. And then we want to ask why, and how, and but, and why the ummah, and why this, and why that. Introspection, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the revelation. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Rabb, the one who created. خلق الإنسان من علق إلى آخره. Those first few verses. And then Jibreel eventually left. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a state of shock. When there's an accident and somebody shaking because they are in a state of shock, what do they do to that person? On the side of the road, the ambulance comes there. What do they do to that person? They cover up the person. They cover him up. Zammiluni, zammiluni. He runs to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Cover me. State of shock. Cover up the person. I mean, it's not boiling hot outside, but this person is shivering. You're shivering. You are shaking. This is not due to the cold. Rather, this is due to the shock. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she covers him radiallahu ta'ala anha. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And what did she say to him? She never began with, what happened? Tell me the whole story. Where are you coming from? Why? What went? He's in a state of shock. Leave him. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he had calmed down, and after he had mentioned what occurred to him, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, as the true pillar of support that she was, remember, he married her when he was 25. She was obviously, as we know, previously married twice. She had children, either one or two children she already had. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her, she was older than him. Either she was 28 years old, or the famous narration, she was 40 years old. She was a woman of wisdom. And after he calmed down, she says, wallahi, I fear for myself, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what I saw. Allah will never forsake you. Allah will never disgrace you. You look after the poor. You stand up for justice. You, the people who are in dire straits, you assist them. You look after and you honor your guests. Look at the quality she praised in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers and sisters. And ponder myself and yourself. Where are we from that? Important. These qualities she praised in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before he was a Nabi. These qualities she's telling him, you're a person who does X, Y, and Z. This is his character. Even before he got Iqra, this was something that he would do. We as Muslims, and we know the virtue of helping people and looking after your guests and assisting people and leader. We know all of the ahadith and the verses of Quran, but we are still so far from that. You have some visitors look out of the window. Okay, maybe keep the gate closed. Maybe after 5 minutes they will leave. These people, they came again. They didn't inform us. We know the drill. Allah musta'an. Look at what she's praising the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why the scholars say, maybe one can even say that Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before he believed in himself. She said to him, Allah will not forsake you. Yeah, you know, this is not craziness, or this is not some thing that we're imagining. Allah will not forsake you, Allah will look after you. She had yaqeen in him even before he had that actual yaqeen. He was in doubt. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, she takes him where? She takes him to her cousin Waraqa. Waraqa was a man who studied the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians. And so she, Waraqa, you're a man of the scripture. You help my husband out. You check up what's going on here. And so he hears the story. And he says, but I was younger. If only I was a little bit younger, I would have helped you out when your people kick you out. The person, the thing that came to you, the being that came to you, is the same one that came to Musa, etc. The one who brought the revelation. What do you mean, my people will kick me out? What do you mean you wish you were younger to help me when my people kicked me out? They called me Al-Amin here in Makkah. They loved me here in Makkah. They called me when I was 21 years old in the parliament. I was the one who decided when they had the issue with the black stone. How would they ever kick me out? Nobody has ever come with what you've come except that they will go through trials and tribulations. SubhanAllah. And with that began the path towards da'wah. Fast forward, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 52, 53, and he now was leaving Makkah. Eventually they want to kill him. They got together and they want to kill him, they want to assassinate him. One from this tribe, one from that tribe, one from this tribe, all go together, yalla, and go and kill him. So he flees Makkah al-Mukarramah. He turns around and he looks at Makkah. And he says, you are the most beloved of places to Allah. Had they not kicked me out, I would never ever leave. I would never ever leave. And so he continues his journey to Medina al-Munawwara. Also, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Look at the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was a human reaction, a natural reaction to something supernatural. He's seeing an angel giving him revelation. This is supernatural. I mean, he was shocked, etc. As opposed to those that we would term the false prophets. People who claim, hey, you know what? You people are not giving me my haqq. I'm also a Nabi. I also get revelation from Allah. Those who are putting themselves out there, I get a revelation. I got this. It was said to me. Up till today in this country, you have this prophet and that prophet, and he got the revelation from God, and God spoke to him, etc. All charlatans. All fakes. And you can look at that. You can see this fake and how the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a proper honest reaction to something which was super supernatural. And subhanAllah, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was told they will kick you out, had the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his message only been, think about it, why he came out? If he only came with the message, you must respect your parents, you must look after your neighbor, you must help the people who are old, you must not litter, you must look after the environment. If those were his only messages, would they have fought him? Would they have wanted to kill him? No. Everybody would have agreed on that. Good character and akhlaq and all of that. There is something common with all people generally. Had the message of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only have been, be good to fellow man, look after people, help them out, assist them, people would have welcomed him with open arms. But his most important message was the message of Tawheed. His most important message was, don't worship the false idols, don't worship any ism or schism, etc. You only worship Allah. 360 plus idols were around the Kaaba. People used to make tawaf around them, etc. Now when you come and say, no, we only bow down before Allah, we only worship Allah, I only put my forehead down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoa, that's a powerful message now. Now you are questioning the authority of the status quo. Now you are causing problems. Before this, good character, neighbor, be good to your family. Everyone can agree with that. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Lastly, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting the revelation of Iqra. Think about this. He didn't know how to Iqra. He didn't know how to read. He didn't know how to write. It is a sign that this Quran is from Allah, that the revelation started with Iqra. Because had the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been a false prophet, he wouldn't have started the revelation with Iqra. Why? Because he's not part and parcel of those people. I mean, Allah starting the revelation and praising those who read, praising Noon, wal Qalam, the pen, etc., which was from amongst the early revelation. I mean, Allah's praising the ones who read and the ones who write. I'm not from amongst them. I'm not from amongst that category. So it wouldn't be a good starting point for somebody to start the revelation with that if he was making it up himself, because he's not from those people. He's not from those who are being praised. SubhanAllah. But the revelation starts praising even though he's not included in that category. And because it was part and parcel of the wisdom of Allah to keep him illiterate so that nobody could say, well, he put this together, he read this here, he read from those people, he's the one who wrote this down, etc., etc. Allahu musta'an. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, this Iqra was revealed to the Arabs first and foremost, a people who didn't have a proper script. The Quran we read today, Fatha, Dhamma, Kasra, was not there in the Arabic language. The dots were not even there. These people didn't even have a proper developed script. But Allah is saying Iqra, because they held on to the Iqra, and then they developed themselves until eventually they became the kings walking this earth. And unfortunately, once they left the Iqra, then we have what we have today. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq and the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to make us from amongst the ummah of Iqra. If we are far away from Iqra, wallah, you make me from amongst those who are Iqra, those who read, as long as it's good and beneficial. Dini or not dini, wallah, make us from amongst those who are Iqra. Hayyakum Allah, barakallahu fikum.